technically, you should have been paralyzed by fear. You're in a housing crisis and you should have folded like a lot of people. And you'd be telling your story today differently. Oh, we would have lost everything. We decided to not be self-employed. And Richard kept a job on a factory floor. Now, instead, you're banking it and probably doing backstrokes and gold bullion. God bless you both. Hey, everyone. This is Cliff, and you're listening to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed this episode with Lynn and Richard York, franchise owners with Express Employment Professionals. Today, we're discussing how they built a $70 million staffing empire, the grind of surviving and thriving in business, and pivoting through changing economic cycles. We hope you enjoy the show, and please follow us as we drop new episodes each week on Wednesdays. All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Pursuit of Profit, Phrenosity, Cliff, Justin, and guests of the podcast may maintain positions in the franchises discussed on this podcast. You're a power couple. That's pretty good. Would you refer to yourselves as power couples?
Well,
Lynn would.
No, I wouldn't, but that is what they call us amongst the press all the time. That's kind of our nickname.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Oh, we got the power couple coming, you know?
Absolutely.
We're just trying to scratch out a living and do the right thing, you know?
Stop it. Scratch out a living. That's quote of the day. That's great. Hey, before we get too deep into this, the audience wants to know, who are you, right? Who is Express? Let's take it from the top. Who's Express for the audience that tunes in and they tune in. It's like, okay, who are we listening to today? Who are they? Why should I listen to them? What brand are they with?
Express is a international franchising company for the staffing vertical. So what they do is basically they go into communities around the country and find one to two, maybe more, depending on the size of the market, people that want to be entrepreneurs and work for themselves. And so they have a turnkey system, really a proven system of how to screen, attract, recruit qualified candidates. And then they market that out to people like Lynn and I. And then we were able to launch it in a community to build, you know, a small business for ourselves.
It's unbelievable. You're part of one of the most impressive franchise brands that no one has probably ever heard of in French, right? It's McDonald's. Think about it. You two are really part of one of the most impressive brands. I've been doing this 20 years. They are a class act operation. They have some of the best franchisees. This is a brand doing over $4.5 billion in revenue with 860 locations. They're all across the globe, really. How many countries are they in today?
I think they're at four countries now.
Four countries. And you have to be their largest franchisee.
Well, we're not number one, number two, and it kills us.
I'm not buying this.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either, but those are the facts. It's tough. I'd rather be number 10 than number two.
There is a franchisee that's not owned by corporate that's bigger than you two?
Yes.
What state do they operate in?
Tennessee.
That's Tennessee. Yeah. Chattanooga, Tennessee.
What are your annual revenues?
Annual revenues right around $70 million in sales, which equates to about, you know, $14.5 million in margin, which we talk in margin here because a lot of our top end sales includes the payroll that we produce weekly.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. And someone in Tennessee is doing more. How further north of 70 million are they?
Well, that's a little different because we have multiple franchise locations, and so that's all inclusive. They do just over, I think last year was $8.5 million in total gross margin out of one location, and we did $40,000 less than that out of one location.
Right. You're catching up.
Yeah. So 40,000 is a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, I bet. I know. It's like losing a race by 2 seconds or something.
It is, you know, just one more fee, one more client, one more call, one more something, and we could have got that number one spot.
This has to be the goal for the office, Lynn, right? This is the goal. We have to dethrone Tennessee.
Absolutely. I mean, dartboards, you know, we have bets going on. And Express is a great organization because we're not only competitive with other owners, but they figured out a way to have the owners work together as well.
Okay.
Across territories, across, you know, different. If we don't have a strength in one area, we'll call on another franchisee. So they, like you said, a classic brand. That is part of why the franchisee system, I mean, we work together and we want the brand to be the best, right? So you'll find that there is just a lot of crossover, a lot of competition, all in fun though. When we celebrate as one. So it's good.
That's great. I want to go back to the beginning. When you speak to staffing companies or you speak to the individuals who cold call us, they're aggressive. They're salespeople. They don't hear no, right? They're hunter killers, right? Yep. They're out there. They're smiling and dialing. It's a numbers game. Tell me about how you got involved in this, meaning what was your background? Were you already doing this? Did you already have that intellectual property to get in and be as successful as you are today? What's the background? Let's start with Lynn.
I graduated from the U of I in kinesiology, nothing to do with business, but always wanted to be a business person. And actually, right out of school, I worked for Jenny Craig Weight Loss Centers. They were really big at that time, and I was managing one of those. And the owners of the Champaign, Illinois franchise at that time recruited me over to staffing. I didn't even know what staffing was. I had no idea. And I came over and I decided to take the role and I never looked back. It's been 30 years. I love it. I mean, you get to do just about a little bit of everything. But my favorite part is getting involved in the community. And I mean, we get to provide hope and put people to work, right? I mean, who doesn't want to make a living off doing that? I mean, for me, that has been huge. But on the flip side, they do disappoint you. I mean, people disappoint you. So this is not an industry for the faint of heart, for sure.
That's right. That's right.
You have to grind in this industry. And Richard's laughing because we're back in a grind again. I mean, for 2008-09 was really difficult for us. And we've just been on this upward trajectory since then. And all of a sudden, the economy hit us again. And we're back in there in the grind. I mean, we're selling again. We're in the grind. So this business can be really tough. And like you said, Richard, really great too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So your background's kinesiology, not sales, not operations.
Nope. But that's where I fit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You seem naturally good at selling, but yet you're running operations for your current company?
Yes. I've always been in the operations. Richard's been in sales, and people look at us and hear how we are, because I am very extroverted, obviously. But yeah, I've always run the operations side, and he's always done the sales side.
Unreal. So no direct staffing industry experience prior to joining, and you grew it to 70 million and counting. You're still in the game. You're young.
Yeah.
You're both young.
And he was
good for you.
You know, in the military, and then a plant manager. So I recruited him from that. So he came to us with absolutely no sales experience.
Yeah, I'm born and raised military, spent time in the military myself. After, you know, getting out of the military, you know, I was just going to school and just trying to figure out what was next in my life. And I qualified for a federal program called SMOCTA. And it's basically for when your skills don't necessarily transfer outside the military, the federal government would pay an employer 12 months of your salary to get you trained. And so I landed with a small German-owned manufacturer in Milwaukee, Oregon, of all places. That's where I met Lynn. She was doing a sales call on my business. And, you know, over the years, became really close. And then when my time ended, she recruited me into Express, thinking that, hey, let's go start our own thing. And I'm like, well, that sounds good. I don't want to move to Fresno and I don't want to go to Philadelphia where my company wanted to send me. And so, yeah, let's go check it out. And we met with founder Bill Stoller.
Mm-hmm.
And he made me go out and sell for a year just to prove that I could do it. And I hadn't sold, sales was so foreign to me. I hadn't sold a thing. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier. It's like, it's a numbers game. And Lynn gave me some real good advice. It's like, if they tell you to do 60, do 160. If they tell you to do 10, do 50, because it's a numbers game. And so
love it.
I just took that to heart, and I'm a hard-headed individual that hates to lose, competitive by nature. I ended up that first year being his number one sales rep for his organization. And once I could prove I could do it, they allowed us to partner with them for a few years to kind of learn the system. And then, you know, we grew his organization to the fourth largest, our offices to the fourth largest group of franchises in the system that year, and then sold it all back to Bill and struck out on our own in 2008 Champaign.
Wow.
And like Lynn said, it's been a roller coaster, but you know, I wouldn't have traded it, you know, for the world. It's been a great experience.
Oh goodness, yeah. Well, that day, that amazing day that someone delivered donuts to you. Share that story.
Yeah, so obviously in a small manufacturer, you know, you wear a lot of hats. And so I didn't have a ton of time, and we were already using a competitor for our staffing needs. And so she came in one day with a want ad that I posted for some assemblers, and she came in with some donuts and my ad, and my secretary, you know, calls me into the front of the office and says, "Hey, this, you know, lady wants to talk to you about staffing." And I said, "Well, I don't have time for that. I already used a competitor," and you know, politely, maybe that's a term I would use, politely dismissed her. She came back the very next day with balloons and bananas.
I love it.
And so she got just pure tenacity, got 15 minutes of my time. And by the end of it, she's stealing all the competitor paraphernalia, logo paraphernalia off my desk. And we used Express from that point forward.
I love that story. I love your no is not the death of the deal. It is the beginning of a salesperson's job.
Exactly right.
I'm amazed at how many people here know. Remember that scene out of Tommy Boy where they practice?
Yes.
We don't hear no. We don't take no for an answer. And they walk in. Exactly. The guy says, "Okay, bye."
Yeah, exactly.
Like, absolutely.
What? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Lynn might operate a lot on the operational side, but she's an accomplished salesperson too. And I think that's one of the things that we've embraced since the beginning is, you know, we're in control of our own destiny. And you know, one thing we know our customers and our prospective customers aren't, they're not in the four walls of our business. They're out in the community. And just because we plant a flag doesn't mean they're going to come to us. We got to go out there. We've got to market. We've got to procure. And we have to stay consistent with our sales effort. And that's been, you know, a guiding principle of ours for the last 25 years. And it's proven to be one of the single most important things that we make sure we do on a daily basis.
I would say that in innovation with our current clients to stay ahead of the competitors in the curve, because even if you land a client, you know there's competitors hitting on them every day with some new great idea or something. And so for us, we really worked on being innovative and reading and making sure we were staying ahead of the curve with our current clients too. And we're pretty proud in our Champaign location. We have 70% of the market share right now, which is almost unheard of.
Wow.
In the staffing industry, we're kind of an anomaly here. So we're pretty proud of that. And I think that goes back. I mean, like, we still visit clients. I have a lunch with one of our clients. They haven't been working with us in a little while. And I picked up the phone, called the owner. We're going to go have lunch and I'm going to figure it out. Right. So we are still out in the community. Right.
You know, I think that the best thing that we're problem solvers, right? We know the lay of the land. All of the businesses in our community are feeling the same kind of pinch, right? Especially today, inflation's up, costs are up everywhere. So everyone's looking for ways to solidify their bottom line. And we understand that because we're doing the same thing. So why not be a part of that solution instead of part of that problem?
Right on. Yeah,
love it. And so we make sure that, you know, the ebbs and flows of the economic tides are how we ensure that we align with our market. And you can't do that from inside your office. You can't do that through email, social media. You have to have boots on the ground, and you have to have trust, and you have to be out in front of your customers to ensure that they know what we're doing about the issue.
Totally agree with you. You got to get out there, feet on the street, press the flesh with your customers, because if you're not, your competition is. This is how we started, this whole work from home thing. It's just flawed. And you're asking, you're literally playing Russian roulette with your business and career. Someone's going to take it from you, especially a Lynn. I love how Lynn, I have to go back to that story because it's very interesting. There is a sales lesson in here. It's like the book Green Eggs and Ham, where it's tactful persistence in the face of rejection. And what I love about Lynn is a lot of salespeople take rejection personally. She concluded, oh, he doesn't like donuts. I'll give him balloons and bananas. I just think that story is so funny. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a good one. And you know what I love about this business, Express especially, you know, it is a blueprint for success. Now, I mean, I don't have to be the builder of every phase of a mansion, but as long as I've got a good blueprint and I build good relationships, I can build a masterpiece. And that's truly what the Express brand is. You get in exactly what you get out exactly what you put into it. And, you know, we saw the, you know, the people coming before us and we said, you know, we could do that. And we're doing it and we're going to continue to do it. I mean, staring down retirement in the next few years, there's no way I'm retiring. I mean, I love this stuff every day.
Are you you're in the military and I want to thank you for your service. We love our military first responders. My dad was in law enforcement for 30 years. Love you folks. Awesome. And thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm able to do this and you're able to do that because of our vets. So thank you for that. Are you like a Sun Tzu Art of War reader? Are you a strategist? You strike me as a strategy guy.
Yeah. You know, it's a habit for me to stay abreast of what's happening, what's impacting businesses, and be the first out there with a viable solution. So I'm religious in the mornings. I read all my river of information. There's several things that I look at for, you know, how are things changing in the market? How are we aligning with the market? Is there what else can we do? I mean, pursuit of perfection, right? Perfection is unattainable, but it's the pursuit that we're looking for, that we operate in. And it becomes a little frustrating for those that work with me at times.
We call them tetterers.
Yeah, I poke holes in everything. But I'm always, and you know, you got to celebrate wins, and I celebrate it for about 5 seconds, then ask what's next.
Wait a second. Your nickname in the office is Cheddar because you poke holes in everything.
Yeah. Yes.
I do.
I read something about your growth strategy, and it was interesting because it was three fives. It was five territories, five franchises, five structures. What does that mean exactly? How did you grow from your core to get as big as you are under this 5-5-5 model?
It's people that we hire that get bit by the bug, that, you know, rise up into our market, our business, and become managers and leaders in our industry. And then they're saying, like, you know, I kind of want to do this too. And it's the pay it forward type mentality, that when we have somebody that really truly wants to launch their own operation, we'll go find a viable territory, buy it, put them into that, and then help them grow to some stability. So we've done that now five times, which, you know, all of them are very successful. We have one that just started in January of last year. So we've got the whole gamut. We got brand new ones just trying to figure it out, and then we've got well-established ones that are starting to diversify the business and align better with their communities.
Okay. All right. So this is right. This creates your exit strategy in the future.
It does.
So you're grooming and mentoring management employees to elevate them in the organization to then run their own office.
Yes.
Exactly.
Which you both own, but will one day say to them, hey, it's retirement time. Why don't you buy us out of our agreement?
They actually own 5% of them. So we allow them to own 5%. We're the majority owner. And yeah, they are our exit strategy. One day they are going to be able to take it over. So it's a win-win in my mind. Actually, that's what we did in Portland. We were the small partners in Portland before we went out on our own. So it was one of our stepping stones.
That's great. Tell me about the organization, your infrastructure, your people. What's the headcount to run an operation of your size?
It's smaller today than it was yesterday. But we topped out at about 75 total employees. The structure is, you know, a sales-minded organization built on a set of values that we came up with our leadership team. I don't know, Lynn, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's been up.
Maybe a little bit less than that. But it's a sales organization that prides itself in, you know, personal accountability, integrity, teamwork, service-minded. We understand that, you know, you got to land and expand these customers and you got to keep them. So it's a tough industry, as you probably know. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. And so some people get in, take a look around, say, no, thanks. Because no day is an easy day. You got to win every day. We got to win every hour of the day. And with that mindset, you tend to weed out the ones that rather go work at, you know, Walmart or wherever. So it's a tough industry to be successful at.
Go back to the economy. You made the economy comment a couple of times. Let's talk about it. What are you seeing right now? What are the optics of the economy? What are you experiencing?
You know, the economy is coming off of an explosion of pent-up productivity because of COVID. And all of those things have been caught up. And in the meantime, we've seen artificially inflating these pay rates, which customers have been, you know, willing to pay because it was a necessity. And now that we've got inflationary concerns, I mean, their costs are up across the board and not up 1-2%. We're talking 30-40% for raw materials. You know, energy costs are up. Everything is up. And so a lot of our customers are in the same, you know, space that we are. It's like, okay, well, everything's more expensive, but we still got to protect the bottom line. Where do we cut? Where do we find those efficiencies? And, you know, one of those largest line items on anybody's P&L is labor.
You bet.
And so why do we need to be the nail that gets hit first? Why don't we proactively understand what's happening and go be a part of that solution? So that's what I'm talking about, alignment, is making sure we understand the what's going on in the market. And why not be proactive and talk about equitable pricing with our customers? We don't need to get rich on any one customer. We need to turn a profit to keep our doors open and to keep our people trained, but we don't need to get rich off any one customer. We need to make that up in volume by being a community advocate. And so that too will change. There'll be a time that we can maybe increase some of our rates and fill some of those voids. But right now, the best thing for us to do is to be a part of that solution for our customers.
Excellent. Love it. Tell me how you exactly make money. Is it the spread between what you charge the customer relative to what you pay the employee? And there's a spread there, right? Is that basically how you're compensated on temporary?
Yes, that's it exactly. I mean, obviously you got a pay rate, you've got your taxes, your fees, those types of things for the state and federal government. And then we tag a markup onto that. And that's what we make. We pay all our bills based on that margin.
Okay. What is the mix of business, temporary staffing to permanent placement? What would be that mix?
25% of our business right now is on the direct hire side. About 30% is skilled trade, 10% in office services. That's an arena we're trying to grow right now. We feel we can grab more market share in that area. And then the rest is lay industrial. So we're pretty diversified right now.
Today is Friday the 23rd. How many people did you put to work today?
Wow. I'd have to pull up our activity report. I know this week because I just looked at it. We put over 300 people out to work out of this location alone this week.
That is unbelievable.
In our 5 locations, we have almost 2,000 people working for us in communities. So most people don't realize that we have that large of an impact in the 5 communities. But if you look at employers, we're probably one of the largest in Champaign. We're in the top 5 normally. We usually have around 1,000 employees out in Champaign.
And a lot of people don't understand that you as a staffing agency have to front the payroll to the employee and then wait to get compensated from your client.
Yes.
How long are you floating? You're floating millions. Or is it, right? Millions.
Tens of millions, yeah.
Right. How does that work exactly?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons Express is so successful is the franchisor, they will upfront for 90 days that cost, but we pay a 40% franchise fee. And I think sometimes that scares people off because it sounds like, oh my gosh, 40%, right? But they do upfront millions for 90 days, which could put a lot of the mom and pop shops, it puts them out of business frequently.
You'll see
them come into the market when it's really lucrative and then they close their doors because they can't hit payroll. They can't float.
As soon as it gets difficult, they're out. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think the average float is probably 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
The average float. Okay. So the royalty itself, you're saying, is 40%? And that's because Express is fronting tens of millions of dollars in your case. And it could be with a hundreds of billions to be nationally, internationally. So doing it not just for you, but doing it for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a $4.5 billion company, as I mentioned. Just incredible. Wow. You guys have some story. It's remarkable. I wanted to bring this up. I love this story too. You two have some really good stories that I found. Is this true that at the annual conference, the seating is based upon performance? I actually love this, by the way. Richard, you being in the military should appreciate it too. It's like, you know what? That's accountability. And that's transparency. And it's transparency. Yeah. So it's true that the front row would be the top producers and the back row would be the worst producers.
Yes.
Is it true? This is a humble statement, right? That you once were in the back of the room?
Yeah, we didn't stay for the whole thing either. We decided to go to the bar. It was so demotivating. But there's one time a year. There's one time a year for about 4 hours that all of your hard work is laid before your eyes, right? There's tables of thousands of people, and every year, that one time a year, you see where your hard work has produced. And it's the visual for me that it's so, I guess, potent, is like we were in the back of the room, and then we were in the top, the bottom third of the room. They were in the middle of the room, and now we're at the front of the room. So we get to stand up and take a look at a lot of hard work.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we almost lost everything, though. And I think most people see us as we are today. But we closed a franchise in 2009, an Express franchise. We ran out of cash flow. We lost our home. We were renting. I mean, we were through the gamut. I actually placed Richard at a manufacturing company for $8,000 as a direct hire to save our business. And he went and worked there for a couple years while I stuck out here, didn't take any salary. He worked his full-time job, helped on the weekends. I worked all during the week. So that kind of fear, it never goes away.
It is motivation.
You started your franchise during the Great Recession, the housing crisis.
Yes.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. And so, you know, I've been doing this 20 years and working with people on buying businesses. And of course, everyone always has a reason to not do something. There's really an unlimited amount of reasons. People manifest fear in so many different ways. Listen to this. I recently looked up not just what companies were started, but what like mega companies were started in the worst of times. GE, General Electric, which is Thomas Edison. I'm a huge fan of Thomas Edison. I think that guy's just remarkable. He actually started his company, the Panic of 1893. Market dropped like 50%. It was a depression. And it was a depression we never talk about. General Motors was founded in the Panic of 1907. IBM, the Panic of 1911. Disney launched Steamboat Willie in 1929 and went through a four-year depression. Disney, Hewlett-Packard, Hyatt Hotels, Trader Joe's, FedEx, Microsoft, all started during recessions. So good for you. Technically, you should have been paralyzed by fear. You're in a housing crisis and you should have folded like a lot of people. And you'd be telling your story today differently. Oh, we would have lost everything. We decided to not be self-employed. And Richard kept a job on a factory floor. Now, instead, you're banking it and probably doing backstrokes and gold bullion. God bless you both. Really? What a story. What a story. I love it. You got to eat a little ramen noodle. You got to eat some mac and cheese.
Yeah. today it's all about work-life balance. And we tell our peers, we don't do work-life balance. We do work-life integration. And you can't have a dream of being an entrepreneur and then worry about, you know, I got to get to the country club to golf. I mean, those things come later in life after success. But we have to integrate our life and our work because it takes 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to be successful.
Absolutely. I love that. Did you ever hear that quote? Entrepreneurship is living your life like most people won't.
Yeah.
So you can live a life like most people can't.
Yes. Yeah. And oh my gosh, it's so crystal clear to me now because my brothers, right? There's three of us. We're all successful. And it's interesting how there is an adversity to risk. And they can't see past the risk. And because we would love for someone in our family to join us, right?
We just did this on a last podcast. We had a guy and he posed an interesting comment about, would you do something if you were told you only have a 5% chance of succeeding? And it really thought provoked me. You know, if Richard, if I told you, it's like, look, you have a 5% chance of something, or you have a 5% chance of making it at Express. I don't know that you would have continued. I don't know. It's like 5%. I mean, yeah. The deck is that. And then I started looking up, well, what percentage of America are millionaires? It's only 3%.
Right.
That's it. 3% of this country. I know. How many people make over 300 grand a year? Only 5% of this nation make over 330 grand a year. So it's like, if 5% is a discouraging statistic, but guess what?
Yeah.
Many of us have exceeded that limitation, right?
Yeah.
It's remarkable. You're right. People are averse to risk. They are. They're risk averse, which is why they're never wealthy. They never speculate to accumulate wealth. They never take chances. This is your time to go all in. You were 26. You could recover from failure. You don't recover from failure at 66.
No, you do not.
I want to ask each of you this question. I'd like to get an answer from each of you. What you two are an absolute inspiration to anyone in business, considering business. What advice would you have for someone that wants to be self-employed?
I think, you know, the best advice I could give somebody that is going to do this is you got to be all in. You can't be one foot in, one foot out. And, you know, you've got to anticipate unforeseen obstacles that are going to come. Like, you can't control what the economy is going to do. You can't control the price of fuel. You can't control what someone else does. But you also need to minimize self-imposed obstacles. You know, the things that we can control, you need to control. And sometimes we get so, I think, paralyzed by, you know, maybe some negativity in the news or, you know, COVID. Look at those things as opportunities to reinvent yourself and to overcome those obstacles. But by all means, do what it takes to win, and don't put yourself on a schedule. Don't put yourself into limitations or confine your creativity. Those are just putting self-imposed obstacles in front of you. You got enough unexpected obstacles you're going to have to navigate.
Great advice. Great advice. And you're so right. Everyone today wants to be half pregnant. Yeah. I want to keep my job, keep my lifestyle, and I want to buy a business on the side. You got to go all in. You're exactly right. Lynn, what advice do you have for an aspiring entrepreneur?
I'm just thinking about when my oldest son was getting ready to, he was looking at high-end cocktail bars and had some concepts. And, you know, I just really believe you have to have, number one, the foresight to do it. But number two, you have to have a good business plan, right? You have to have a plan. You have to work your plan. You have to understand when COVID hits, we got to pivot. And they sold drive-through drinks during COVID in little bags with crushed ice and all. You have to be creative. You have to know how to pivot. You have to move. And you have to be willing to work. If you got to lay everybody off and it's you, it's you. I mean, it's you, bottom line.
You bet. That's right. Leadership is action, not position, not title. Lead.
Yep.
I agree with everything you've said. People need to dissect what you said. That's very valuable advice. Folks don't know what they don't know until they're in the grind and they realize what this advice means. It's like when my mom said to me, oh, you had a baby? It goes fast. Okay, thanks. Like, what is that even? And now I'm teaching him how to drive. And the last time I saw him, he was two. So
right.
you don't know all this advice that comes to us. You have to live. You have to experience this stuff. You have to fail forward, right? Yeah, you do. You just have to put yourself out there, get out of your comfort zone, and believe in yourself, which has a lot to do with it. Really, really good advice. This was a phenomenal, phenomenal interview. I've enjoyed my time with you. You folks have managed to build a $70 million company, 70% market share in your area. You're the Google of Champaign, Illinois. You are. You're like the Google of, and you're still going. This was a lot of fun for me. I hope the audience really enjoys this because you're truly an inspiration to any entrepreneur and anyone wanting to do this.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice.
Thank you.